My guest at this time is Dr. David Prentice. He is the vice president of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which is affiliated with the pro-life organization Susan B. Anthony List. We want to get his reaction to the growing debate over abortion of unborn children, specifically those who've been diagnosed with Down syndrome. A number of states have passed legislation banning abortion for that reason. And more fuel was added to the fire in recent days when a pro-choice columnist for the Washington Post defended the idea of aborting unborn children after a Down syndrome diagnosis. And Dr. Prentice, thank you very much for your time today.
Glad to be with you.
Well, a number of states have, as I mentioned, have passed laws banning abortions simply due to the fact that there's been a Down syndrome diagnosis. You've got North Dakota, Ohio, Indiana, and Louisiana. And ultimately, this is going to go to the Supreme Court. Why do you believe this is such a critical legislative effort?
Well, this is not just about abortion. This is about discrimination. This is a genetic discrimination where you are saying just because these little kids have a particular set of chromosomes, in particular, they have one additional chromosome, that that makes them essentially unworthy of life. And we're starting to parse out here prenatally who has a life worth living or not. It harks back to some of the horrific genocides of the past that simply because someone was different, we're just going to kill them. Well, now that hunt is going genetic and it's going into the womb.
How is this different than abortion for a different reason?
Well, in one sense, it isn't different. Anyone should have that right to life, the opportunity to be born and to live their life to the fullest extent possible. But this kind of takes it another step here, because the reason for these abortions are not simply to eliminate a life, but particularly because this life has a certain kind of genetic condition. And, you know, right now the debate is about infants, preborn babies who have this Down syndrome genetic condition, but you could easily see this carried on to other types of genetic conditions or other genetic traits that whoever is in power, whoever has the decision-making capability, decides that someone with nearsightedness, which might be diagnosed in the womb, someone who has short stature, which might be diagnosed in the womb, that we're just not going to let those kind of people live. Those aren't the kind of babies that we want. Those aren't the kind of people that we want. So it really comes back to this question of, are we going to discriminate against somebody simply because of their genetic characteristics?
And another thing that I know has come up from time to time, and it seems to be perhaps a bigger issue in other countries, particularly China, is gender selection abortion. Finding out that you're having a girl usually leads to an abortion because in a society where you can have limited children, they'd rather have a boy. So this seems like it's along those same lines.
It's definitely along that. If you think about it, actually, that sort of sex selective abortion is another type of genetic discrimination. These little girls have two X chromosomes instead of an X and a Y. And in China, best guess is there are at least 160 million missing girls simply because of that selection process, that discrimination process. Obviously, there are other countries where that's taken place. And, you know, whether you're discriminating against them because they're a girl, sort of the ultimate discrimination there against women, whether you're discriminating because they have Down syndrome, whether you're discriminating because of some other characteristic, it's just something that we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't accept as a society any kind of discrimination, and certainly not prenatal, where we're going to kill somebody before they even have a chance to be born.
I mentioned the opinion piece in the Washington Post. It was written by a columnist named Ruth Marcus. I'm sure you've had the chance to see it or at least have heard about it in recent days. It's gotten a lot of attention. She explains, again, as I said at the outset, that she never had a child with that in utero diagnosis. But if she had, she would have chosen to have an abortion. She goes through some of the statistics about how there are additional health complications for children with Down syndrome, for example, usually a lower IQ. She talks about a limited capacity for independent living and financial security and how it's life-altering for the entire family, her words. And then she says, quote, "I'm going to be blunt here. That was not the child I wanted. That was not the choice I would have made. You can call me selfish or worse, but I'm in good company. The evidence is clear that most women confronted with the same unhappy alternative would make the same decision." So there's two points there I want to get your reaction to here, Dr. Prentice. First of all, the idea that this is not the child I wanted, so therefore I'm going to terminate the pregnancy.
I mean, that's sort of the bare truth there. It's not the child I wanted. You know, we all, of course, would like to have the perfect child. That rarely turns out to be the case. And whether it's because of an additional chromosome or some other kind of condition, children, for the most part, just like adults, are not perfect. And if it's a matter of this becomes commodity shopping, I want this kind of baby, I want this kind of baby, and I'm just going to return them, so to speak, if they don't match up. Again, just is horrific in this thought that we are rejecting somebody just because they don't measure up to our own particular desires in terms of standards.
Dr. Prentice, she is right about one thing, though, and that's that most women who get the diagnosis do end up terminating the pregnancy. I've seen statistics that vary anywhere from about 2/3 all the way up to about 90%. And Iceland, of course, is infamous now for essentially taking the life of all of those unborn children. But what do the numbers actually look like from the research you've done?
Well, it is unfortunate that a lot of people who get that diagnosis unfortunately decide to abort that baby. But it turns out that a lot of these problems that come up in people's minds in terms of the ability of this child and their ability to live a full and happy life are old statistics. It used to be true that these children didn't tend to live more than about 20 or 30 years. Now, the average lifespan is 60 years. It's pretty close to what the average lifespan for all of us is. There are certain health problems. There are certain lesser mental functions for the most part. But that doesn't mean that these kids can't live normal, happy lives, grow into successful and productive and happy adults. And when they've actually looked at the family situations and asked the parents and asked the siblings and even asked these individuals, it's something like a 95 to 98% rate of happiness and satisfaction with their lives. Their brothers and sisters love them. Their parents love them. You know, I think in one case you might say that this extra chromosome actually imbues them with additional love.
Dr. Prentice, I know you're more on the medical side than the legal side, but as this heads through the court system, how do you ultimately think the Supreme Court most likely will end up ruling on these state laws banning abortions based on a Down syndrome diagnosis?
Well, it's always difficult to try and predict how some of these cases will come out. But you've got to hope and pray that they really look at this through the eyes of what are these individuals' lives like? Do they deserve a chance at life, or should we be discriminating, a lethal discrimination against them? And my hope is that they will rule on the side of life.
What does it say about our society if it is allowed to continue?
Well, it's a sad commentary on the sort of idea that children are a commodity that we can create and destroy as we wish and based on whether it's the type of child that we want. And that reflects on our relationships with all members of our species, not just unborn children. If we really consider other people simply ends to our own desires, we're in a very sorry state.
Dr. Prentice, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your insights.
Thank you.
Dr. David Prentice is vice president of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which is affiliated with the Susan B. Anthony List. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.